and that's what I had before I went through this process. As you can tell, I have a little bit of an accent. If you don't know, if you can't tell where I'm from Boston, Massachusetts. That's where I'm originally from. I'm down here visiting with my sister. She's she's down here now, and she's just been diagnosed with dementia. So, I want to spend as much time as possible as I can with her. And I've been down to this area quite a bit in the past, here and there, and I enjoy coming down here. But going to meetings is something that's very important. It is part of my recovery process. And, to get into the step work here and a little bit of a history for me, growing up in Boston, I'm an Irish Catholic from Boston, so that'll tell you that I don't know if I need to say much more than that, because I had this God of my misunderstanding, growing up in the church in Boston. And so when it came time to, to either make a choice about drinking or not drinking, it was obvious that the drink was something that I saw. And once I had that first drink, it had that effect on me. All of a sudden, I had that ease and comfort. And I grew up in a neighborhood that was, I saw what alcohol did to people. They were parents of the people I was growing up with, and it wasn't going to be me. It wasn't going to happen to me. Well, as we know, with any of the addictions, that alcohol had different plans for me. And the woman that I married, she was a childhood sweetheart, and everything was going to be nice. I mean, we were going to have a family. I had a good job, the white picket fence, all that other good stuff, But once I crossed that line, drinking, and it tells us, in the book, earlier chapters, but also in AA, the old timers would always say, once you cross that invisible line, there's no going back. They also talked about, once a pickle, always a pickle. If you belong to OA, I'm sorry if I'm using that illustration. You can't become the cucumber again. Of course, that's kind of in salad, so that's okay, I guess. So, I became that pickle, and I couldn't go back. But I didn't quite understand what they meant. I do now. because I understand more about what alcoholism is about, what this book is about. And this book really, this is our basic text. This is the novel. This is the educational material for not only us as alcoholics, but anyone else, and including the medical people and everything too. Because this is all hard learned lessons. This is life in here. And what this does for us by going through this process, it produces life within us. I know it produced it for me. So anyway, fast forward with the drinking. I believe that I look back now, and I can see I crossed the invisible line probably around 25 or 26 years old, because that's really when I lost that power to choose whether I was going to pick up that drink or not. And it was difficult, because I thought I could do that. I never thought that something would control me like that, because I was pretty strong-willed and everything, too, but it really had me. And eventually, back in 1985, that woman that I married at age 32 died from this disease. Mm-hmm. We both, became alcoholics. We both drank, much more than we probably wanted to, and, I didn't see this coming, that it was going to happen to her, but it did. So in October of 85, she passed away. And so I was left with my two children and my job, and not knowing what or how I was going to do this. But I was going to dig my heels in and just move forward. That's all I knew. And once I found, after she had passed away, what I needed more than anything else was to drink, to kind of hide that and to give me the power that I needed to do what I needed to do. It wasn't long before I ended up finding the employees assistance program at work, and I went and see a nice counselor, another nice Irishman named Connie, and he gave me that infamous 20 question test, where if you get two or three right, you might be alcoholic. Well, I got 18 right and light on the other two. And he said to me, congratulations. I said, okay, what did I win? And he said, detox. And I was like, oh, no. I can't do that. I got my kids I got to take care of. I got a job. I was putting everything in front of getting sober. Because I didn't know at the time what I really needed to do, but I did what I, because I really wanted to be a good father, really wanted to take care of my kids. I just didn't have the power to do that anymore because alcohol had me. And eventually back in end of February or early March of 86, the police came, my sister who I'm visiting to down here, my older sister, she was afraid for the safety of my kids and myself, so she called the authorities and the cops came. My kids were removed. And I was standing in my living room all by myself saying, what the hell did I do wrong? And cursing God, saying, why are you doing this to me? I mean, what did I do? Why? And, the thought came that maybe I might as well just end it. And then another thought came along and says, well, I guess I'll go into detox. So I did. I went in there for 10 days. And I came out with, feeling a lot better, feeling good, because I hadn't felt good in a long time because of the drinking I drank for over 24 years. And so I felt good. I mean, Bill talks about it. He came out of the place feeling like he's got this new power or something. And I came out of there with a meaningless book and a prescription for ant abuse. And if you don't know what ant abuse is, it's something that if you drink with ant abuse, you could either get a bad reaction or a minor reaction. If there's any other alcoholics here, you probably know what I'm talking about. Well, I ended up drinking on it because my mind told me that I'd only get a minor reaction. And I'm far away from home. No one's going to know, all those excuses, And halfway through, and I was away with my friend from work, and he was to become my boss later on. But he went away for the whole weekend. He brought a six-pack. And he offered me one. Imagine that. If I had a six-pack, I wouldn't even tell him I had it. I'd be hiding it, getting my beer. So halfway through the beer, anyway, I had this reaction. He looked at me and he says, are you going to be all right? My eyes were like ready to bleed. My face was all bloodshot. I had this real bad reaction. It took me like 6 hours to come down from it. Anyway, what I did was I ended up throwing the prescription away and drinking again. And I finally surrendered to this. My anniversary date is December 15th, 1987. And this happens to be my birthday, too, which was interesting.
That's awesome.
So I got a day I was born and a day I was reborn in this fellowship of Alcoholics Anonymous. And it was wonderful. And I remember Big Book Step Study when it first started in my area. And I was down Central Service in Boston. And they were arguing about not letting Big Book Step Study. They say it's not AA. It's like, well, it's from the Big Book. How come it's not? And the thing was that people couldn't speak at the meetings. We alcoholics, we don't tell me not to speak. I got a lot to say, And so it really struggled, but as you can see, it's grown since then. So the last 20 plus years. I was fortunate, but not only was I fortunate, but if it wasn't God's grace getting me into this process, I wouldn't be sitting here today. I went to my first step study, my Big Book meeting. It was a men's meeting. And I remember going in there, and I was standing out in front looking in. It was a men's meeting, and I said, I'm not going in there. No, I'm not going in. And it's like, yeah, I got to go in, It was like my first meeting again. Anyway, I went in, and I sat down, and I had my head looking on the ground, and then I looked up, and across from me on the wall was a sign that said, celebrate a miracle. So I knew I was in the right place. And I said, God, you don't have to drop a truck on me now. I know where you need me to be. And thank God for that, because I was introduced to this process with a sponsor, and he worked with me. It took 2.5 years to go through this whole process, and that's just me. But I had a lot on my plate, I had to take breaks once in a while because of the places that I ended up going to. And it tells us in the book somewhere earlier on that, we shove this stuff so deep down inside that it'll never see light of day. Well, I wouldn't have brought that up, but God's grace brought it up. That third step prayer pulled it up. And once you open that Pandora's box, you can't close it. So I kept on. And we went through all these steps. I don't want to go any more on that. I want to kind of get up to the 10th step here, because I want to talk about that, because that's what we're talking about today. But I went through and I did my fourth step. I did my fifth step with my sponsor. I did it in his truck. I did it up in Maine during a snowstorm. I mean, every place he went, I went with him in his truck, and I was reading my fifth step to him. And it took me months to get through it all because of our circumstances. But I finished it, and I felt a sense of relief having got it done. But one thing I wanted to share too is when I was in the depths of my inventory process, I remember being on my knees and crying out to God and saying to him, you know, it tells us in our literature, you don't make too hard of terms for those who seek you. So where the F are you? You know, I didn't say it quite easily as I just did. I mean, I yelled out at him. I said, wow. And I remember lying on my side and I was weeping. And a couple of minutes later, all of a sudden, this peace came over me. And I looked up and with one eye, and I says, is that you? And I knew. See, that G-O-D, gift of desperation, God met me in my most desperate point in the work that I was doing, just to let me know he was there and to strengthen me to continue with the work that I needed to do. So I continued on, so I got through it. My sixth and seventh step, I was up in Maine, and I wanted to do it on the beach. I did more than one sixth and seventh step, and it was because I wasn't quite sure that I did it the way I wanted to. And I tell my sponsees these days, I said, you know, don't just go home after your fifth step, spend an hour and read that, you know, six and seven and do it. No, give yourself some time. You've just done something major in your life. Don't rush through this thing. Because I didn't have that real feeling. It didn't feel like something was really what was done. So it was a couple of months later when I was up in Maine, and I had my plan to do the seven-step prayer on the beach in sunrise so I could meet God in the morning, which I did. And I remember being there, and I was on the beach, and there were people there. Imagine people being up that early on the beach. I said, oh, man, no. They're going to see me on my knees. And I said, I don't care. I'm going to do this. So I got on my knees there, and, you know, I thanked God for what we had done. And, you know, the sun was coming up, and I said the seven-step prayer. And it really felt wonderful. And when I got up, I was walking back, and then all of a sudden I got this feeling like I really belonged here, the sense of belonging in this world for the first time in my life. It was incredible. And of course, I went on 8, 9 and all too, and you know, I still have some people on my list, but I made the list, and I made the amends as best I could, and I continued to make them. But then it comes into step 10 here, you know, which is, I love 10 and 11. You know, I heard that the 12 steps are, they're laid out. The first three steps are about waking up, and the middle six are about clearing up, and the last three are about waking up. You know, about growing up, you know, because that's what this does for us. And I remember when I was doing my writing, this is something I wanted to share too. I was doing my writing, I was hearing people at meetings saying, oh, my sponsor told me to read pages 84 to 88 in my writing. So I said to my sponsor, I said, you know, I heard this. I said, should I read pages 84 to 88? And he said, did I give you those instructions yet? I says, no. He said, no. So I immediately went home and read pages 84 to 88. I fessed up to him later on. He says, I know you did that. I know you. I mean, he's been trudging with me for over 2 years. He knew I was going to do that. But, he's being a good sponsor. And he got on my list many times while I was writing my thing. If he didn't get on my list, he wasn't doing a good job. So anyway, you know, these promises are just, you know, it's incredible. I love to read the promises. It's because a lot of it has come true for me today. And it's just, It's great, but there's all these instructions now in 10 and 11, you know, what we need to do. I mean, it tells us that now, you know, we've entered the world of the spirit, you know, and there's a friend of mine, his name was Lucky. He's not with us now, but what he used to say is, you know, there's two words in here, continue and constantly. And he said, how often is constantly? Okay. So it means we got to do it all the time. So I have to continue this work all the time. I know how to do it now. I know how to take a fourth. I know how to do an inventory. And you know, what's his name? Socrates said something about it. An unexamined life isn't worth living. This is giving us a way to examine our life that's worth living. You know, because now we know. Now I know, and I can't not know, so I know. So I need to do this stuff. And if I stop doing this stuff, it says continued life. If I stop doing this, I'm going to regress, not progress. And I see it all the time at meetings, people picking up and going back out because they don't do this. They don't continue it for the lifetime. But it tells me exactly what to do. I'm watching out for the selfishness, dishonesty, resentment, and fear. Those are the four key things. And when they crop up, not if, because they're going to. And they do. And it tells me we ask God at once to remove them. Then we call our sponsors or talk to someone, and then we make amends. I mean, this is the instructions of how we're going to live our lives moving forward. It's all right here. You know, we cease fighting anything. This is like the 10-step promises where for sanity is returned, we seldom be interested in liquor. This is the part that tells me that I'm recovered now. And it tells us right in the beginning of the book, the first edition was 100 people who have recovered. Now it says thousands of people who have recovered from this seemingly mental illness and disease. But it tells us also, it says that can't rest on our laurels. You know, alcohol is a subtle foe. And, you know, we're not cured. See, there's a difference between being recovered and cured. I can't become the cucumber, so I'm always going to be a pickle. But I'm recovered enough to continue to do this work. And I become unrecovered if I don't continue to do this work. So here's the instructions and everything, how to do that. But these promises tell us that is, it's the miracle. We're not fighting it. We're not tempted. You know, we're safe and protected. We're not even sworn off. The problems have been removed. I only have one problem, and that's alcohol. That's been removed. It's the alcoholism, it's my mind, it's the other stuff that I keep working on. That's what this is about, watching out for all this stuff. You know, as long as I keep in fit spiritual condition, which is continuing this work, and practicing the 11th step, which is the next one that comes after this one. And it's a maintenance of our spiritual condition, so our maintenance is something I got to do every day, you know, to kind of stay with this. And for a long time I read 84 to 88, and I've kind of lapsed a little bit on some of this, but I got other things that I do that's in the 11th step later on. I tell people I'm a recovered Catholic, you know, because that's what I go back to. So I've been able to get a spiritual sponsor, a spiritual director and all that helps me to learn more about God and deepen that relationship that I began here doing this work. This is where it is. You know, and it tells us that we need to reach out in step 11, priests, ministers, and rabbis, you know, whoever, whatever your persuasion is, you know, you reach out to them because they know. And it says, you know, every day is a day we must carry the vision of God's will into all our activities. How can I best serve thee? Thy will, not mine, be done. I got to get the grace of Bob out of the way all the time so that the grace of God can work in my life. And that's a struggle. You know, because I still think sometimes that I know what's right, you know, and God and I have our little talks once in a while, you know. He always wins. Okay, and in this last paragraph, it says, much has been already said about strength, inspiration, and direction from Him, with a capital H, all knowledge and power. And I got to keep surrendering over that third step prayer, the seventh step prayer, keep surrendering my life and my will over to the care of God, because He's caring for me now. You know, and it's important for me to make sure that I do that on a regular basis because, again, I can get caught up in different things. And if we've followed direction and begun to sense the flow of His Spirit, to some extent we've become God conscious. We have begun to develop that vital sixth sense. Now, as human beings, we have five senses. The sixth sense is the God consciousness, the connection to God. And I was disconnected from God for quite a while. And I'm connected back up, and I can stay connected when I do this work all the time. But we must go further, and that means more action, which means step 11. When we go into here, you know, after this, you know, and I've already got the sign over there, but two things I want to share real quickly. A couple of weeks ago, my church had their St. Patrick's Day dinner, and I went there, and, you know, they give you two free drink tickets. That's okay, only two. And so, I mean, I'm not going to drink or anything, so I'm trying to sell my tickets at the table for the highest bidder, you know, and no one wanted them. And I was even trying to give them away, and a woman opposite me, she goes, "I had my two, I'm done." Yeah. And I looked at her, I says, "What?" Then the thought crossed my mind, "I can do that." And then something else jumped right on top of that and said, "Who are you shitting? You know you can't do that." That's the recovered part, I know I can't. You know, I enjoyed myself there, I had some great corned beef and cabbage, and the Irish part of me is like, I love that. Didn't drink, and I went to church this morning with my sister, and she very rarely goes to church. Only when I come down here and bring her, I drag her along, you know, try to get her connected a little bit with some people down here, because she's starting to like that. And you know, with her condition, that is not going to get any better. It'd be nice to try to hook her up with some other people, because you know she knows she's becoming lonely, and her daughter, who's trying to help her, you know, is doing the best. It's not. You know, there's more that maybe that they can be doing, and I'm just here trying to do, and I enjoy just with my sister and whatever she wants to be doing. And you know, it's not about Bob, it's about what can I do to serve her. They had a pancake breakfast this morning, which was awesome. Then we had church, and then Dunkin' Donuts afterwards. Woo woo, you know. So that's what this stuff has done for me. I've got the whole new life, as long as I continue to practice this. You know, life second to none, a life that is just, I could never imagine. If you could imagine your life 5 years down the road, you would sell yourself short. Because I know that God has gifted me with recovery and given me a chance to do this. I've traveled a lot. I've been to Mongolia. I'm sponsoring a man in Mongolia, you know, on Facebook video, you know, the internet and stuff. And It's just a wonderful thing. It's just, you know, sky's the limit with this stuff. Life is just, it's, you can't measure it if you trust in relying on God. So thank you for letting me share.
Thank you.
Thanks for sharing, Bob.
Hope I didn't go over.